Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. Let's get right to the phone so we can give plenty of time to Chad. Before Chad comes on, I will say that I apologize to Ryan. We got into the segments a little later because of some longer commercial breaks. If you want more information on the spearfishing, go to the Spearfishing Association. It's the Rocky Mountain Spearfishing Association. Contact them. I'm sure they'll be happy to give you their side in more detail. And we want you to make a good decision based on information. Now let's go to Chad LaChance. Good morning, Chad.
Hey, good morning, Terry. Thanks for taking time to do this.
Well, I think it's important. I wish we probably should have taken a whole hour, but programming just doesn't allow that. So I assume you were listening to Ryan?
Yeah, yes, sir.
So why don't you just kind of tell us why, you know, what you think, what are your feelings about harvesting large fish and some of the things he said?
Well, first of all, I want to point out that this is for anglers that want to get involved on either side, regardless of how they feel, contact CPW for sure, and you're going to have that information, I know, but understand that this is not their idea. The Spearfishing Club wants to have a proposal. Parks and Wildlife just wants to consider everybody's proposals and see what happens. So I want to point out that when you do contact Parks and Wildlife, regardless of which side you're on, understand that they're just a referee in this whole thing. So that's really important. I also want to point out that I have personally fished with a Hawaiian sling, which as he mentioned, is a slightly more primitive version of spear fishing, in that I just have a stick that you use rubber bands to propel it with underwater. And I also did that with snorkeling gear, not with scuba tanks. Having said all of that, I did that in the ocean, just for the record. Having said all that, I have to refute the fact that it's very easy to get close to fish when you're in the water with the fish. It's not the same as walking down the bank or anything like that. So, you know, or being afraid of your boat. You're in the water. You're in their environment. They don't understand you as a predator underneath there. Yes, they might move away from you, you know, things like that. But conversely, having snorkeled here in Horsetooth Reservoir, here in Colorado, I've had bass. They will literally, mature bass will literally swim right up to you and look right at you. And they have no problems with that. They're extremely curious fish. And my experience has been, the clearer the water is, the more the fish do that. So I refute a little bit that it's terribly difficult. I'd be fully respectful of swimming 40 feet onto the bottom and then laying there to shoot a fish that happens to swim by. It would be very difficult. I understand that completely. But having said that, the own spearfishing club has picture posted. I just pulled one picture, and I want to point this out. There's at least 36 mature or straight-up trophy fish in one dock at one time from a couple of anglers. There's 8 or 9 different species, and that's just what I can tell from the pic. Catfish, walleyes, largemouth bass, smallmouth bass, and even things like gizzard shad, adult gizzard shad. So what that's telling me is their technique is effective enough to shoot walleyes or catfish that might be down on the bottom, but also gizzard shad that are swimming high in the water column and never stop swimming, which tells me these guys are fairly active predators when they're underwater. The other side I want to point out is they've got, you know, they mentioned 50 to 150 people in the surrounding states, say 50 active members. I get it, but that's 0.01% of licensed anglers, and yet their impact, just that one picture alone, and I encourage people to just go look around at, you know, all the, you can go Google, there's lots and lots of pictures on the internet of how effective it is. But we're talking about 0.01% of licensed fishermen that are able to harvest the top 1% size-wise of our fish. And I realize it's not a large number of fish, but it's literally the prize bull every time they fire a spear. And it doesn't matter what the species is. In that photograph I mentioned earlier, a bunch of them were bluegills, little tiny targets. So, you know, they're able to harvest at a high level considering it's such a small percentage, and that doesn't even consider the fact that we have declining numbers of waters in the state, increasing numbers of anglers in the state, and now we're going to put another user group in the water that harvests the top 1%. And oh, by the way, if they're in the water with their boat and they have a dive flag up, any other boat needs to give them a 100-foot radius by law. So, and that's a Coast Guard rule, if I understand it correctly, but it's a 100-foot radius. So if you've got a couple of spear fishermen with a couple of boats and they pull up on, say, the dam at Cherry Creek and put divers in the water, they could effectively block off a large percentage of the dam very easily by doing so. And so I just feel like with the small little user group and all the advantages they have over regular anglers, this is not a good plan in Colorado for the amount of people we have, the little tiny bit of water that we have. I understand they do it in surrounding states, but they do a lot of things in surrounding states that aren't applicable here as well. And I think this is a key example of that.
What about they claim that they can pretty actively judge the size of fish underwater?
Well, I think he's 100% correct in that they don't worry about it because they just find the great big ones. So he doesn't have to worry about judging an 18-inch walleye when he can shoot a 28-inch walleye. And I watched him do it up at Wyoming. I watched the spearfishing boat pull up on the dam, put a dive flag out. The diver was not in the water. He was not in the water, Terry. A minute and a half, 2 minutes, he popped up, had a walleye. Over the course of the span of about 15 or 20 minutes, we watched him harvest two limits of fish in no time flat. And none of them were less than 2 feet long. So I don't know that their idea of having to judge, obviously in the slot limit situation or something maybe, but reality of the situation is they're not worrying about if this thing has a 5-inch horn and is legal. They're shooting a great big one every time. And therein is really my rub. If they were just out doing the same average stuff, I can understand it, but they're not. They're incredibly more effective. And having done it myself, I know if I can swim up to a grouper and shoot at point-blank range with a Hawaiian sling, I'm quite certain that they can do the same thing here. Only the difference is we don't have those resources. These are brood fish. Almost all the fish in Colorado, as you're well aware, come out of the hatchery system. And we just really can't afford to have our trophy bulls shot for the gain of a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of anglers.
Chad, did the diver you saw, was he free diving or scuba diving?
He was scuba diving. He actually had a tank on. He was diving. Yes.
That was a point that Ryan tried to make, that most people don't scuba dive because it's not effective.
Right, and I've heard that bubble as well. I've also been around that enough. I grew up in Florida, and he's right. The bubbles will definitely spook some fish, but apparently they didn't spook the walleyes in Wyoming because the guy wasn't in the water. I think it took him longer to climb himself back in the boat once he got done with the two limits than it took him to find him. And now, obviously, he knew where they were, but what's to say he's not going to be back there tomorrow doing that again? I mean, he literally pulled the boat up, dropped in the water, and was right back on the surface. I also want to point out that I fished that whole area for hours prior to him and after him and never did boat a walleye. So the catch rate, so to speak, is through the roof. And I realize they're only going to catch five or whatever the limit is, but they're all going to be big and they're going to get them every time. And it's rare that a licensed or that a traditional hook and line angler is going to go out and catch eight or nine species in a day, all big ones. And then conversely, or on top of that, harvest all of them. I mean, even if we were to have an unbelievable day like that, most ethical anglers these days would return most of those to the water. And we're certainly not shooting things like the bait fish, like the adult gizzard shad, that are basically the foundation for the food chain.
All right. We're out of time, Chad, but one last 20-second comment.
Well, like I said, I'm not against it as a wholesale statement, spearfishing. I think it needs to be reserved for rough fish or maybe very isolated situations where maybe a specialized, lake or something like that, or specialized regulation on a lake here and there. But for sure, a wholesale regulation change for active 50 active users makes no sense at all. It wouldn't really even be considered for that small of a user group for any other sport or activity done in the outdoors. Having sat on the Sportsman's Roundtable, I'm sure of that.
All right. Whatever side you're on, folks, you need to contact Parks and Wildlife. Chad, I'm sure you and a lot of other people have contact information on your Facebook page.
Yes, sir. And yes, and I just urge people to be civil. Again, it is not Parks and Wildlife versus anglers. It is an angler issue between us and spear fishermen, and Parks and Wildlife's just referee.
All right. We are out of time. We're going to wrap this up for today. I'll post this on my Facebook page. Chad, thank you so much. When we come back, Nate Zielinski is going to talk hunting, and I may pry a little walleye trolling information out of him, too, on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
Oh. You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.